Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Welcome to this place of restoration.
Restoration Christian Ministries presents Pastor John Bazemore, Jr.
Grateful to the Lord today for all of you, just excited about this Resurrection Day. Hallelujah. The world just don't know what they're missing. They'd rather celebrate the Easter Bunny. But I know I'm celebrating someone that died for me, and he arose for me, that I might be victorious. Hallelujah. So we're just grateful to God today. The Spirit of Christ, the Anointed One, and all of you that are here, just so glad to be in the house of the Lord one more time. I don't want this message just to be a message that's given on Resurrection Sunday. Some call it Easter Sunday, but I want this message to be in our spirits always. This is the foundation of what we believe. This is it. I mean, if this day did not happen, we wouldn't be here today. There would be no nothing. We would not be here today. But because, see, it wasn't good enough that he died. But legally, he had to get up. Because otherwise, the legal ramifications of what he was trying to do would not have been seen all the way through. So it was not enough that he died, but he had to raise up.
Yes.
And I thank God that he's the only one that died and got up again and do not have to die again. See, some would die and they were raised from the dead. But see, when you're raised from the dead, you're going to die again. But when you're resurrected, you never die again. Savior was resurrected. That's why this is Resurrection Day. He was resurrected from the dead so that we might live eternally with him. I'm going to talk about an appointment with destiny. And I want to kind of walk through just how this day came about. Now, this would really take a whole week to go through, if not longer, so I'm not going to do that. So I kind of prepared the condensed version today. Trey's like, Pastor B, we ain't got a week. So I'm going to give you the condensed version today, but I really do want you to understand how and why this came about. Because when you're having an appointment with destiny, now that means that you know something needs to be done, and you have a set appointment. Now, when you have an appointment, it may not be right now, but you know one day you have a set time that's been set aside that something is going to happen. I never, ever take for granted the good things that God has done for me, the things that he has done in my life. I'm grateful for all of you that are here today to hear this word that God has given all of us. I'm excited. I really do want to share this because if there's anything in my spirit as your pastor, I want to make sure that we fully understand. I have not celebrated Easter since in my late 20s. And I'm 64, so that's been a long time. Because I really finally got a revelation of what this day was all about. And once I did it, I taught it to my children. And now I saw a little status on Facebook by my daughter. I didn't kind of like the way she phrased it, but she said, I can't stand people that, you know. But I know what she meant when she said that, because It's in her spirit, because since they were small children, I have ingrained inside of them the importance of understanding that this is not a commercial holiday, that this is the day that we commemorate as well as celebrate the resurrection of our Lord, because legally we would have been permanently separated from God had he not got up. You see, some people let it stay at the death of the Lord, and they get excited about that and then they leave it there. But you got to understand, you see, Satan had a legal right to keep us separated from the Father because of the Father's requirements. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So now, if he had not got up, which means he not only died for our sins, but when he was raised not just for our sin, but he was raised for our justification, which means we have the ability now to be just like him. So it wasn't just good enough to remove the sin, but we needed to be able to live a righteous life on this earth, and his resurrection accomplished it. So now, an appointment with destiny. Let's go from the very beginning. I want to walk you through how all of this started. It actually started, it did not start in Genesis, but it actually started from the foundation of the world. The Bible in Revelation 13 and 8 says that the Lamb of God was slain from the foundation of the world, which makes me believe that even when he created mankind and Adam and Eve sinned, that he knew then that he would be separated from man, but he had already made a provision. And listen, and the Lamb had already been slain. So you got to understand something. This thing didn't just happen. You know, these prognosticators who want to say, well, there's really no Jesus, there's really no history, there was really no crucifixion, there were really no disciples. They even say, Mom, there was really no Abraham, there was really no Moses. They made all of this stuff up. What an imagination that 40 different people from all different backgrounds, all different countries got together and was able to put together the same thing, saying the same thing. Isn't that amazing? What an amazing coincidence that is. The Bible is an amazing coincidence, isn't it? Yeah, right. Listen, God planned this thing from the foundation of the world. Back in Genesis, when God created mankind, it was God's desire that he would dwell with mankind. That's his desire. He created this earth for us to enjoy, just like he had enjoyed heaven all of his time. He wanted us to have heaven on earth. Excuse me, but how many of you know that whenever somebody gives you something good, there's always somebody that want to mess it up? You ever know anybody like that? You cannot even enjoy the things that God gives you because somebody gets jealous and they want to mess it up. Well, the one that got jealous was the one that got kicked out of the place that we're trying to get to. And that's why it amazes me that anybody would believe in somebody that was there in eternity, in heaven, you know, one of the archangels of God, and he got kicked out. Listen, I don't know about you, but if you get fired from a job and then you're going to tell me, you know, how to get that job, guess what? I ain't listening to you. I'm going to listen to people that are there. I'm going to listen to people that have credibility. You don't listen to people that got kicked out of the place that you're trying to get to. So it was he that got jealous because of man, because he felt like man was now taking authority over the place that he thought he had authority over. You see, when he got kicked out of heaven, he came down here to this earth and he decided to take dominion. And God said, not so. So what did he do? He created a man. He instilled in us everything that he was and is. He gave us the ability to talk, you know, just like him. He gave us creative ability. He gave us the ability, sure, to call things that be not as though they are. Everything that God is capable of doing, he gave mankind that ability. But again, there's always one person that don't like it. So look what happened. I'm not going to use this time to accuse you ladies today, though y'all were the one that ate off of the forbidden fruit. Y'all were the ones who did not listen. I don't know where, don't start, Corbin. I don't know where Adam was. But you know, it's amazing to me that, and I, you know, I got to ask him about this when I get to eternity. I don't understand. Let me ask you, Trey, because, I mean, I know me and you kind of see things eye to eye sometimes. What would you do if you're standing there and a guy walks up to Nikki and he just starts trying to kick it to her right in front of you? Yeah, that look tells me everything. That look tells me everything. I mean, I can't understand. You got an enemy, and he's talking to your wife, and he's saying all of these things. They're everything that's the exact opposite of what God told him. And the Bible says that Eve ate household, the head of your household, allow another man to kick it to your wife? How could you, as a child of God, allow somebody to tell you something that God said, your creator, you're having this wonderful fellowship all of the time, and then someone is going to tell you, but you can have more. You can have more. God is keeping something from you. He's not being fair with you. Y'all ever get those times where you feel like God is not being fair? I know y'all deep folks, y'all don't feel like that, but I've had those times, Nikki, where I felt like God just was not being fair. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? You just feel like God, you're just not being fair. I mean, why do I have to go through this? Why is my family getting this and they're not even believers? And here I am, your child, and I don't even have this. And then the enemy will come. See what I'm telling you? It doesn't make sense to serve God. You might as well go back in the world trade and do your thing, because look at where you are. I mean, is it benefiting you to serve God? And this is what the enemy told Eve. Is it really benefiting? As a matter of fact, Eve, God doesn't want you to eat off of that tree, because he knows the moment that you do, you're going to be just like him. Well, newsflash, you're already like him. You were created in his image. A fruit from a tree is not going to make you be like God, because we are already created in the image and the likeness of God.
Yes.
My God. Yep. So now, but look, let's pick up the story there. So, excuse me, Genesis 3 and 15. So now, after they ate the fruit, now look at what happened. Now, this is when there became a struggle, a clash for the soul of mankind. Verse 15 shows the beginning of this whole struggle between mankind and God's enemy, Satan. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise your head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So now, from the very beginning, we see that there was a challenge. We see the enemy trying to get in the midst of the relationship that we have with God. And I need you to understand, it's no different right now. Even though we know we are victorious, and you know, it's funny, people say, I don't know how they could be right in the midst of the garden, seeing all of these beautiful things, and then listen to the devil. How could they do that? Well, the same way that you do it right now. We have the Spirit of the living God living on the inside of us. He's instructing us. He's in every way. He's God. But how many of you, even now, you disobey and you still have the Spirit of God living on the inside of you?
My God.
We still doubt God right now. We still wonder right now, is God going to complete the things that he said he's going to complete? But look at your neighbor and say, but God had a destiny. He had a destiny.
Amen.
Listen, the appointment with destiny is going to happen. The things that God has planned for your life, they're going to happen regardless of how you feel about it.
Yes.
It's not based on how you feel.
Yes.
It's not based on what you think.
Yes.
It's not based on how much I can exegete the word. It does not matter. The things that God has planned for your life,
yes,
your destiny will come to pass.
Yes.
You've got to believe that thing. You've got to know that the things that God planned for you, regardless of what the situation looks like, God has already made a provision.
Yes.
Listen to me.
Hallelujah.
In Genesis, when God said, when the Bible says that God blessed them, and God blessed them, that means that them, because it was only Adam and Eve, but they had yet to take on a body, so they weren't physically on this earth yet. But the Bible says God blessed them, and let me tell you what it means. Everybody that was going to be on this earth was a spirit already in heaven. So God blessed everyone, because he foreknew everyone that would come to this earth even 2,000 years ago. Listen, Adam and Eve showed up first, but he blessed everybody. Everything you need, Cheryl, to be that vessel that God has created you to be, he put inside of you even before mankind showed up on the earth. Every gift, every talent. Listen, even the prayer that you had last night, God saw that prayer from the foundation of the world.
Yes.
You've got to get this thing. God saw your children. He sees your children now.
Yes.
Even though the enemy is going to try to take them out, God has a plan for their life. They have an appointment with destiny.
Yes.
Everybody in here, you've got to get this thing in your spirit.
Yes.
You have an appointment with what God has planned for your life.
Amen.
So God's first act of mercy, when Adam and Eve sinned, just like us, they tried to cover it up. So they got fig leaves because they realized, you know, isn't it amazing how when you sin, it brings to light, you know, it exposes your nakedness, the things that, you know you're not supposed to do. Because when God came looking for them, Darlene, and God said, well, where are you? And they said, well, we hid ourselves because we were naked and we were ashamed. And God said, an amazing question, how did you know that you were naked?
My Lord.
You see, some things God has to tell you himself. And when he doesn't reveal those things to you, he automatically knows that you've been listening to the wrong people. Sometimes, folks, you can even get a prophetic word that's wrong. You can get a prophetic word that's not from God. But now here's what happens. The enemy hears your prayers. He knows your desires. I told somebody before. You know, they said, well, how does the devil? I heard this preacher say the devil knows me like that. Well, I thought only God knows me. No. He knows you because he hears what you're praying. He knows your desires. He knows the time that you cried out to him. He knows the time that you were lonely. He knows the things that you want from God, and he will try to give them to you. Just like he did to Eve. But now they said, well, we were ashamed because we were naked. So what did God do? And here's the thing. When we mess up, don't we try to cover up what we mess up? How many of you got something that you did so bad you would never tell anybody? Let me raise both of my hands. There are things right now that you don't know about your pastor. Unless God reveals it in a vision, you ain't going to never know it. I promise you, I would never. First of all, I would be just too sick. Y'all look at me like, nah, we don't want you to be out there. You crazy. I would never tell you that. But listen, there are some things that God will reveal. But now, even then, even in the midst of my mess, God yet did not give up on me. There were so many times, Pat, that I should not be here. I should be dead. I'm telling you. I remember a guy pulled a gun on me because I was taking his wife to work. It was the craziest thing, Cheryl, because it scared me. I mean, it scared me so bad. You know, I was pumping gas, Pat. I remember just like when I could see myself with my little blue car with the white top, you know, that rag top. And it was a Cutlass. I forget that it was a Cutlass Supreme. So, I mean, I love that car, white interior, just love that car. So I'm standing there, car looking all good, and Estelle and her two children in the back. And then all of a sudden, somebody walked up from nowhere and said, what are you doing with my wife? So I was certain that when I turned, I saw he was standing there with a gun. You know, so it frightened me so bad that when I turned, Trey, I sprayed gas all in his face. Now, I didn't do it because I'm just so good. I was scared. I was scared, and it shocked me so bad that when I turned with the hose, it just put gas all in his face. And I said to myself, I wish I had a match. I did. I said, I wish I had a match. But even then, even in that circumstance, even when this guy may have thought he came there to kill his wife and he would kill me too, but God said, not so. You know why? Yeah. Because I had restoration in me. Yeah. God knew that Cheryl one day would need to reconnect with me to get her back in the kingdom. God knew that even Grandma Ruth one day in 2015 would show up here at Restoration. God knew that. When God has a plan for your life, nothing can stop the destiny that God has planned for your life. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So God's rule, and I don't know, and I'm sure that Adam and Eve knew this, but God's rule was without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission or removing of sin. So what did God do? He didn't settle for the fig leaves. You know, fig leaves is an act of religion. You're trying to cover up your own mess. That's what religion does, Cheryl. You try to cover up, you know, the thing that you've done. But God is saying, Cheryl, the way that you cover it up, it's not good enough. The only thing that's going to get you to where you need to be is the shedding of the blood of my son.
Yes, Lord.
So God allowed an animal to be slain, and he took that skin, and he provided a covering for them. And how many of you know that God has been covering us every day?
Yes.
My God, I'm so glad about it.
Amen.
So the story begins there. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. So God's plan began to unfold. But again, just like always, when God begins to do something, now the enemy is going to come in and try to stop it, because he already said prophetically, this woman is going to bruise your head and you're going to bruise her heel. So him being smart like he was an archangel, he fully understood what the ramifications of that meant. So what did he do? He tried to stop Lamb of Destiny. But again, how many of you know that God always has a plan that we don't even know about?
Amen.
There's always a plan that we don't even know about. You see, in Genesis chapter 6, you begin to see the things that the enemy will try to do. And let's go there for a moment. In Genesis chapter 6, and I love this because it really shows me the length that the enemy will go through to try to circumvent the plans of God. Now, if you look at verse 4, it says, then there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God, let me do this. Let's go back to verse 1. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives, all of which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also his flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. Then there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same become mighty men which are of old, men of renown, and God saw the wickedness of this. Look at what happened. The angels had a first estate. So they left their first estate and began to go, and this was a strategic plan, Trey, to go into to the women of men so that they could pollute the bloodline, because they knew that unless the bloodline of God remained pure, the sanctification and the purification that we need would be a non-effect. So Satan's job was to pollute the bloodline that Jesus was one day to come through. Because listen, without the shedding of blood, there is what? No remission of sin. But it had to be righteous blood. So isn't it amazing how the enemy will try to do anything that he can to destroy the plans of God? But I want to let all of you know today, no weapon that is formed against you will prosper. Everything that God promised, it will come to pass. There's no demon. There's no devil. There's nothing past. There's nothing present that can stop the plan that God has for your life. Everything that God planned for you, it will come to pass. How many of you are excited that Jesus was victorious? My God, he won the fight. He won the fight. So from here, so since the Garden of Eden, God has been drawing or painting a masterful picture of redemption. Ever since then, God has been showing us through little drips of what would happen. When you look at Genesis 12, when he called Abraham, and he called Abraham to be the one that would bring eventually the Redeemer that would come through the earth. And God said, listen, through you, all of the nations of the earth will be blessed. Now, I don't know about you, but I would be kind of glad to have God said, John, through you, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. Now, you want to know why? Because if y'all are going to be blessed, that means I'm already blessed.
Amen.
Do y'all get that?
Yeah.
So Abraham got a revelation that if God is going to use me to be a blessing to everybody on the earth, that means it's going to start with me. Look at your neighbor and say, it starts with me. That's right. It starts with you. God is going to put a blessing on you that you are not going to have room enough to receive it. But it's all because of the blood of Jesus. So now, here's one thing that happens. Waiting for your destiny. Sometimes, Pat, God will require you to do something that you don't want to do. How many of you have ever been there?
Yeah.
God is going to require you to do something that you just don't want to do.
Yeah.
You're going to look at God and say, no, I don't want to do that. Because, I mean, it's going to be something so strategic, but yet so hard for you as a human being. Can you imagine, you know, an old man, you know, given a promise at 75, now he's almost 100 years old, he finally gets his son, and now God is asking him to give him the son back, to lay him on the altar. Can you imagine Abraham? He's got this little young son now, probably a teenager, and he's now requiring that he give Isaac back, to lay him on the altar as a sacrifice. I can't even imagine that. I mean, I've never, as much as trouble my children have given me, I've never wanted to kill them. Well, I can't say I never wanted to kill them, but I never want them to die forever. You know how you want to kill them and bring them back? See, y'all don't know about keep on living. Keep on living. My God. There have been times, I know you know, you get so angry with your children.
Yeah.
You know, I remember this line from Bill Cosby, the Cosby Show, when Theo with Vanessa. She got mad with her father and said, well, I didn't ask to be born. And he said, if you had, the answer would have been no. That's me. That's me. There are times that you get so upset with your children that you almost wish they weren't born. But now, Abraham waited for 25 years for this son. Now God was asking for him back. But you got to understand, God from the very beginning was painting a picture of redemption. God was just showing the world what it would be like one day. God had a paintbrush, a masterful brush, and he was painting, he was showing the world what it will one day be like. How many of you know that God is painting a picture of redemption right now? Even right now. I mean, from the very beginning, God was doing this. He painted a picture. Listen, whenever God tells you he's going to do something, God will leave you clues that it's going to happen. You may not see it right now, Pat. You may not feel it, but I guarantee you, if you look close enough, God has left a clue. Your blessing has a clue attached to it. Everything that God promised you, I'm telling you, God is going to make good. Father, I get excited about this because, you know, some people think that Jesus just came 2,000 years ago and he died on the cross and he was raised. But it's about more than that. From the very beginning, since Genesis, God has been painting a picture of redemption. Even when mankind fell, he's been painting a picture. He painted the picture with Isaac. Look at what he did. He asked Isaac to be sacrificed. And Abraham laid him on the altar, tied him up at the sacrifice. And then God said, just because you obey, don't worry about it. I have provided myself a lamb. But what was God doing? He was painting a picture of redemption. He was showing the world one day what it would be like. And then he even went to Isaiah. And he told him, he started telling Isaiah about the Savior that would come one day. You know, he started telling him how to recognize him. The Bible said he would be wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace would be upon him, but by his stripes we would be healed. It said he would be born of a virgin. 2,000 years before it happened, he would be born of a virgin. He would come, he would be born in Bethlehem. I don't know about you, but I can follow somebody that makes a promise thousands of years before it happened, and then it happened. My God. Even in the wilderness, in the book of Exodus, you know, he provided the tabernacle as a sign, as a picture of what redemption would be like. Can you imagine that? The tabernacle in the wilderness? I mean, the high priest and the outer gate, and you go in and the first thing that you see is a brazen altar where you have to leave a sacrifice. And then after the altar show up, there's a basin there that you have to wash your hands, because then once you get dirty, you got to clean up. And then once you clean up, you go into the holy place. My God. Now, because of the blood of Jesus, Lisa, you can go into the Holy of Holies because the curtain has been removed. How many of y'all are excited about this thing? I'm excited about the things that God has done. He raised up Moses as the deliverer. Moses was a type of Jesus. Moses, listen to this. Now you got to get this. Moses was in Egypt until he was 40 years. Then he left and was in the wilderness being tried and tested and going through things for 40 more years. Then he came back to Egypt. Now, you got to look at all these 40s. And then he was used by God to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt into the wilderness where they wandered for 40 years. When Jesus went into ministry, the Bible says that the Holy Ghost immediately took him into the wilderness, and he was tried in the wilderness for 40 days. Do y'all get this? 40 is a time of testing. But listen, after every test, there's deliverance. After every test, Lisa, there's a testimony. So don't get overly excited about what you're going through, but lift your hands in adoration and give praise and glory to God. Exodus 3:13, when Moses asked him, who are you? He didn't say, my name is Jehovah God. He said the same thing that his son would give us a revelation of. He said, well, who shall I tell the people have sent me? He said, tell them that I am sent you. But we got a revelation of it when Jesus came, because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection. I am the good shepherd. I am the bread of life. The lambs, Exodus 12:5, the lamb without blemish is what he required. How many of you know that Jesus is that lamb? The lamb without blemish. Leviticus 17:11 says, the life of the flesh is in the blood. Do y'all get the life of the flesh is in the blood? So isn't it amazing that Satan would try to contaminate the bloodline so that Jesus couldn't come through to redeem you? How many of y'all are glad that Jesus got here?
Yeah, yeah.
My God, what if he had not got up? All in the Old Testament, Numbers 21:9, the serpent on the pole. You know, when the children of Israel had sinned, and God instructed Moses to put a serpent on the pole and to hold that serpent up in the air. And listen, whoever would look at that serpent that was around the pole would be healed. How many of you know that Jesus hung on the pole himself?
Yes.
And whoever would believe in him would be healed, delivered, and set free.
Yes, thank you.
My God. My God. Why did Jesus do all of this? Here's the question. Why? Why did he do this? I want you to get this. Many people don't understand, Lisa, that Jesus came 2,000 years ago, but the Word, who Jesus was in heaven, always existed. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So that when all of these things was happening, the Word was in eternity looking at it. When the Father said, you're going to have to be stretched out on the altar like Isaac, do you get it, Word? And I'm sure Jesus said, I got it, Daddy. You know, everything that happened, it was the Father telling the Son what he would do one day, and he did it just for you.
My God.
You've got to understand that. You know, Jesus existed on this earth, but in this body, but now even before he got here, he existed in heaven.
Yes.
He was known as the Word of God. Yes. When God said, let there be light, that was the Son that was talking.
Yes.
Y'all got to get a revelation of this. He didn't see the world thinks he got here when he got here in the body. No. You didn't get here, Lisa, when you showed up in your body. God knew you from the foundation of the world.
Yes.
He told Jeremiah, from your mother's womb,
yes,
I knew you.
Yes.
My God. This thing.
Amen.
He knew you from the foundation of the world. Before you even got here, before you showed up, God knew everything that you would need.
My Lord.
Every situation that you're going through, God knows about it.
Yes,
he's made a provision for it.
Yes.
Everything that you're waiting for right now that you're believing, how many of you been waiting? You just getting tired of waiting on God?
Amen.
Sure you are.
Amen.
But God already knows that. He even knows that you're going to get tired. He's even made a provision for that.
Yes.
God has made a provision for everything. So you have to wait until the battle is over, Ruth. You can shout right there. Because
yes,
everything that God promised you, how many of you know he's going to make good?
Yes.
See, you got to have a desire to want to see other people blessed. Yeah, I mean, that. You know, I look at Facebook, and you write something about, I'm going to get my blessing. 9,000 people will come and like you. But now you write about deliverance and, you know, being a blessing to somebody else. Some people don't want to hear that. But let me tell you something. The ones that are really going to be blessed on this earth are the ones that want to see other people blessed. How many of you want to see somebody else blessed?
Amen.
So you know what I do now, Cheryl? When I see somebody else get blessed, I get happy. I do. I get happy because I know if God did it for you, he's going to do it for me.
Yes.
So you got to learn how to get excited when other people get blessed.
Yes.
Y'all still ain't got it. Let me stay here, Holy Spirit. You got to learn how to get excited when you see other people get blessed.
Yes.
So you don't get jealous. You don't get mad when you see their new car, their new house.
Yes.
My God, you bring them a gift.
Yes.
Put some gas in it.
Yes.
Because if God did it for them, he's
yes,
going to do it for you.
Yes.
You got to get this revelation.
Yes.
You better get a revelation of this
yes,
thing.
Thank you.
In Hebrews 12,
thank you, Jesus.
It says about Jesus. So we ask, why did he do this? And the Bible says this, for the joy that was set before him. Now, somebody asked, well, what is the joy? Look at yourself and say, it's me.
It's me.
Yeah. He saw you. Even though what he was going through was hard. The Bible said he was beaten. He was stabbed. They had this cat of nine tails that they would hit him in his back. And not only would it hit, but it would pull the skin off when they was pulling it back. And he went through, they punched him in the face. I mean, they put a briar on his head that caused all kind of suffocation. But he did this, the Bible says, for the joy that was set before him. Look at yourself and say, hey, joy. Yes, right. You are the joy that was set before him.
Yeah.
He endured the cross. He despised the shame.
Yeah.
But listen, just like he went through it, the Bible says now he's seated at the right hand of the Father.
My Lord.
He's seated at the right hand of the Father.
Yeah.
Now, guess what else he said, Cheryl? Because he was victorious. I remember years ago, when Evander Holyfield from Atlanta, heavyweight fighter, had a fight. He was married at the time. And everybody thought Mike Tyson was going to destroy him. Mm-hmm. Thought he was going to destroy him. He don't have a chance. I mean, you know, my son, you know, Eric and Troy, and, you know, some of my friends, oh, Holyfield, he's too skinny. You know, he's got a little teeny waist, and Tyson's going to pound his waist. He's going to pound him into submission. I mean, they went on and on, because Tyson was destroying everybody. But now, when the day of the fight came, I noticed something when they got in the ring. When they got in the ring, Tyson had a way. Stand up, Corbett. He had a way. Come on, man, stand up like an old man. He had a way of looking in his opponent's face. And the guy, you could see the cheek starting to get a little intimidated. But when Holyfield stood there, you know, Holyfield had a nice physique. So he stood there like this. And I noticed Tyson looking him up and down. And I said, oh, thank you, brother. He said, I said, oh, it's on now. The bottom line is, Holyfield destroyed him. He beat him so bad that Tyson bit his ear off. But now here's the real victory. Tyson was the conqueror because he beat, not Tyson, Holyfield was a conqueror because he beat Tyson. His wife was more than a conqueror because she didn't fight, but she got all of the money.
Yes.
Do y'all get this revelation? The Bible says that we are more than conquerors. Jesus said to fight, but we get the victory. Do y'all get this thing? We are more than conquerors. You've got to learn how to rejoice when it seems like there's no reason to rejoice. You've got to learn to rejoice. You've got to walk around with your head up high. You know, my children call me king. They call me king. You know why they call me king? This started when they were little. They said, Dad, you always walking around. You know, like, you got this strut about you. And they used to say this about me at GM as well. I never noticed it. They said, you walk around, your arms out, and you're trying to show your physique and acting like you're tough. I knew I wasn't tough, but you know what? I know my God is tough, and I know I'm a victor.
Yes.
I'm not a victim. I'm a victor.
Yes.
I am victorious.
Yes.
So you don't walk around like you've been beat up. You know, I might be beat up, but I'm going to walk around like I'm the baddest dude in the world.
Yes, God.
Why? Because I'm a victorious person.
Yes,
I am more than a conqueror. I didn't have to fight. That's why I walk like that, because I didn't have to fight, but I got the victory.
Yes, God.
I'm blessed beyond measure. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm blessed beyond measure. You sure are. You don't even realize how blessed you are. You are so blessed that some of your friends are looking at you. They can see what God is about to do in your life, and they're getting mad at it. You don't even have anything yet. But they can see the anointing on you. You ever been in a place like that where people start getting angry with you? You don't have nothing. You got less than nothing. I got an associate of mine. This guy's got everything. Beautiful home, beautiful car. I mean, everything you could possibly desire. He has it. But yet he's always jealous of me. And I'm like, dude, what is your problem? What is the problem? And finally, God just told me, you know, you walk around like you own the world because you believe in me. And he's got everything, but he yet is not satisfied. Listen, you can have stuff and still not be satisfied.
Yes. Yes.
It's not having things that makes you satisfied.
Yeah,
that's not what it's all about.
Yeah.
But it's about knowing who you are.
Yeah.
You see,
yeah.
I know who I am in Christ.
Yeah.
I know that my Lord won the victory. I know that one day we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you came here today, so now you know the truth about the Word of God.
Yeah.
You're not going to stand before God and say, well, Pastor Bainmore didn't tell me the devil is a lie. I'm going to teach the Word so that when you stand before him, you're not going to be able to say, my pastor didn't teach me that.
Yeah.
Nobody knows the trouble. I said, no. You're not going to be able to go there. I'm going to preach the truth and nothing but the truth,
yeah.
So help me, God.
Yeah.
Because the truth is what's going to set you free.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
I'd like to have the organ playing and, you know, the nice praise team and all of the, I'd love to have those things. I would. And you know, sometimes I'm sitting there in the seat, Lisa, and I'm envisioning the praise team, you know, like all 10 of them, you know, alto, sopranos, and tenors, and the keyboard player, and the drummer, and the bass player. And I'm just envisioning this beautiful worship. But at the end of the day, only what you do for Christ is going to last.
Yeah.
The only thing that's going to last is the things that you do for Christ. So now, I get excited. And you know what? The more excited I get, the more blessed that I am.
Yeah.
It's not working hard, but you know what it is? Just believing. I told my wife, I said, you know, to move ourselves forward, it's not going to require knowledge. It's not going to require money. It's not going to require, well, it may require at the back end a plan, but you know what it really requires, Beth? Passion. You've got to have passion. Because, see, without passion, nothing works. Nothing works without passion. The Bible talks about Jesus going to the cross as the passion of the Christ. He was determined he was going to go there to deliver us. And it takes that same type of passion to get to where God wants you to be. God has a plan for your life. It may not seem that way. You may seem totally out of joy. You may seem as though nothing is working. But I'm telling you right now, God has a plan for your life. And you may be the most, you know, broke person in the world. I mean, you may not have anything. You may not even be able to. Your friends don't even acknowledge you. They don't even count you as being anything. But you know what? When God puts his hand of blessing on you, nothing can stop it. Y'all need to hear me. When God blesses you, nothing can stop it. Nothing can stop the outpouring of God when he promises you. I don't care what the devil does. I don't care what his demons do. When God has a blessing, somebody wrote a song, "What God has for me is for me." Do y'all remember that song? "What God has for me is for me. What God has for me is for me." What's the rest of it, honey? You don't know that song? Come on, let me anoint this woman. But what God has for you is for you. Don't worry about what's happening to everybody else. Don't be concerned about what people are saying or how uncomfortable you are. Don't worry about that. You just know this, what God promised. See, some of you, God has made a promise. And now you're wondering because you don't see it happening. Don't worry about that. You got to know that what God said, he's going to make good at it. God can't lie. The Bible says this. He's not a man that he can lie. He's not the son of man that he has to repent. Has he not said it and shall he not do it? Has he not promised and shall he not make it good? That's his word. It's right there. You are blessed from the foundation of the world. Santa, I want to read something to you as we end this today. I want you to know where you are right now. Because some of you are thinking that the things that God promised me, it's not happening. I don't see any change in my life. And you're looking at ones who are being blessed right in front of you. And you're sort of like getting like the children of Israel when in the book of Malachi, God chastised them. And he said, will a man rob God? And what had happened, they saw the people in the world getting blessed, and then they challenged God. Well, what is the need of us bringing you tithing when the people in the world are more blessed than we are? So his contemporary, Nehemiah, he was the one that was trying to rebuild the gates of the city. So you know what God did? Nehemiah's contemporary was Malachi. He heard about what was happening to Nehemiah because they had people sleeping in the storehouse where the Israelites were supposed to bring the blessings. So that's why God used Malachi to write in defense of Nehemiah, will a man rob God? But I want to show you something for all of y'all, because I heard people say, man, these drug dealers out here, they're doing better than we are. Let me give you a revelation. I want you to know who's blessing you. So I want you to keep this in your mind. Ecclesiastes 2:26. I want you to read it when you go home, but I'm going to read it to you now. And I want you to read this thing over and over again. Because, see, the very ones that you think got so much, I'm going to read to you what happens. For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy. Now get this. But to the sinner, God gives travail. Now listen. To gather and to heap up that he may give to him that is good. Look at your neighbor saying, that's me. The sinners right now are gathering all these things because the time of wealth transfer is coming.
Yes.
And the things that they have gathered, God is going to give to the righteous. Yes. My God, y'all better get a revelation of this.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you are encouraged by God's word and will tune in next time to this station for our Sunday service at Restoration Christian Ministries. Stay encouraged and have a blessed week.